Hello and welcome to this TRU University Rugby Special podcast. Just 6 days to go now to the Bucks finals at Twickenham. And as ever, I'm joined alongside Max Ashcroft today. Max, how are we doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Chris, yourself?
All excited, ready to for another trip down to Twickenham?
Yeah, it's been a real exciting year for university rugby. You know, a lot of ups, lots of downs, but you know, ultimately leading up to Twickenham and the big final for both the women's and the men's. So, no, it's going to be a great day as usual. We've been doing a lot of university coverage now for many, many years, 6-7 years now. We've been the leading publication out there. So we're gearing up for finals day and I'm really excited for it.
And the two leading teams in terms of the men's final are Hartbury and Leeds Beckett. Current champions Hartbury taking on a Leeds Beckett side banging form. And I think, Max, the last time we did a bit of a bonus university rugby podcast, you predicted Leeds Beckett would go to Exeter and win. And once again, you've been proved right.
Yeah, look, you know, it wasn't the perfect performance in the quarterfinal. They, you know, they would have been. They had a lot of more gears to get through. I think they would have been just happy to get the win against Cardiff, but knew that they could go down to Exeter, play, be physical with them. You know, we didn't get to see that. There was no video coverage or live stream of that game, but by just following it on Twitter and on social, Leeds' defence sounded like it was, you know, was really strong. By the sounds of it, they were turning ball over at the ruck, just being physical with Exeter. And that's what you've got to do when you go down to Exeter, go onto their home patch. You've got to beat them up front and be physical with them. And ultimately, that's what Leeds did. And they've got the reward. They're at the final in Twickenham. You know, start the season, a lot of people writing them off. Then they got into this form, you know, this unbeaten record, and they've not looked back since.
Yeah, I mean, Exeter went into that game and they've been a bit, not patchy, but they've been a bit stumbled over the line in some of the last games towards the end of the season. And then they had a really hard quarter final against Cardiff. So Leeds went there probably fearing they've got nothing to lose, really. And they showed that last week at Topshon. And to go there and get the win is a big, big statement going into Twickenham.
Yeah, the confidence will be really high. You know, they've got a good, really good team. They've got a good core of players. They've got a good bench. The bench is strong.
Because we saw at Cardiff Met in the quarterfinal and you were pretty impressed with a few players, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, John Okenfor, the second row. Look, he was quiet in the quarterfinal, but, you know, by that, I mean in quiet, I mean he was still making his tackles. He was still dominant. You know, the set piece was a bit sketchy, but that they can get that sorted in a couple of weeks, and I'm sure it's going to be fine next week. You know, the back three were really impressive. They had Kieran Davis at fullback, Chester Duff on the other wing, and then they were able to bring on Charlie Venables, another high quality fullback. So you know, the fact that they have that strong back three, they can bring Charlie Venables on. Is a massive bonus for them. They've got some really good front row that they can bring on off the bench as well. So for me, they've got a strong team. They've got a strong squad, and they should go to Twickenham really confident.
And sort of maybe been a mixed emotions for you, Max, watching the other semi-final. Obviously, Bath, University of Bath alumni, but they were unfortunately second best against Hartbury from your perspective last Wednesday. I mean, did you manage to catch the game at all, or?
Yeah, I watched bits of it. I think I did say that Hartbury were going to get the win there.
Yes, you did.
You know, I didn't want Hartbury to win. Don't get me wrong. I wanted Bath to win, but the result was just so, you know, so stereotypical Bath. You know, Hartbury go up, you know, they become quite dominant, and then when you think there's nothing to play for, Bath start throwing it around, and then they get a few tries, and then you're like, oh, Bath are back in the mix here, and then they go back to their old selves, and then Hartbury score, and it's kind of game over. So it was such a stereotypical performance. Like, you know, you could have seen it a mile away, unfortunately. You know, the set piece, the scrum was fairly steady both ways. I know Hartbury brought on the loose head that had been playing for England 20s, I think.
Yes, they did, yeah.
he looked like bringing him off bringing him off the bench, you know, was a big, is going to be a big bonus. I don't know if he's going to be starting on Wednesday or not, but he was strong in the scrum. Bath's line out really, really struggled. You know, they really did struggle there. But, you know, Hartbury just, they had that experience, got over the line. They've got a few deep, they've got some good backs, got a bit of X factor. I was really impressed with the Bath Academy back rower, who I can't remember his name off the top of my head, who came on. He scored a try as well, cut a really nice line for a try, really physical unit. I know a lot of the Bath rugby players think very highly of the academy lads that are playing for Bath. So they need to learn from it, but we've been saying this for years and years that they need to learn from it. And, you know, they're the nearly men once again, unfortunately. And they've had such a strong season. They would have liked to have capped it off at Twickenham. They'll be bitterly disappointed. But they go again next year and they'll give it another crack. And we'll probably be here 12 months down the line saying they're in a semi-final. And I hope next year I'm saying that they're at Twickenham.
Yeah, I mean, you use the word stereotypical there, Max, and you touched on it actually when you were talking about Bath's performance. But Hartbury, this is what they've done. This is what they've done for the last 2 years. They've got to knock out rugby and just shown the class. And head coach Sean Lynn was absolutely full of praise for his forwards because he thought they were outstanding last Wednesday night. And he said they got them over the line to another Twickenham appearance. But I mean, I don't know why, but they always seem to turn it up when the big games come around.
Yeah, Leeds, you'd say that for both sides, both Leeds and Hartbury. Yeah. They just get into winning habits. You know, even when they're not playing well, they win. Same for you know, Hartbury, same for Leeds. They've just got that winning mentality, which you need, and which Bath have just really struggled to have that sort of cutting edge. Bath on their day could beat any of those teams. They could.
Yeah, they beat Hartbury twice in the North.
You know, they would have got in really confident, but it was just so predictable what was going to happen, and so they'll have been really frustrated with that. But the program's so strong there, they'll go again and go again next season.
So we won't ask you for predictions just yet, Max. We'll save that to the end because you're normally absolutely spot on. And before we look at the women's final, England student squad was announced last week, I think it was last Friday, and seven players who are going to be in the Buck Super Rugby final should be involved. They've got two games against France Universities, one at Chester Rugby Club next Friday night, I believe, and then next Sunday they are over in France for that two series matchup. They lost twice to France Universities last year, but just looking at the squad, Max, it's a really strong lineup Darren Fearn's put together.
Yeah, it's always going to be a strong squad. You know, to represent England students is a massive honour for anyone. You know, it's two hard fixtures, really tough fixtures. You know, going to separate the boys from the men. You know, or the other way around, as it may be, I'm not sure. But, you know, you've got, they've picked guys that are in form, which is good to see. But then they've also picked people outside of that Super League, Super Rugby, which is, you know, it's difficult for the coaches to be able to look outside of the Super League all the time. I understand that. But you've got a lot of high-quality players playing in the leagues below. So you've got Christian Taylor, Manchester Met, and Sale FC player. You know, he'll have been recognised from his man Met, from playing for man Met, but also for his work in National One. So it's great to see him on the team sheet. You know, it's good to see Chester Duff, the Leeds Beckett winger up there. You know, you've got Jack Kenningham and Will Partington for Bath.
Yeah, both been brilliant for Bath.
Yeah, both been. So they're picking guys in form, which is really good to see. They've got Conrad Cade, who the loose head for Leeds, but he's been on the bench for both. He's been on the bench. So that was going back to what I was saying before. The fact that they can bring on an English student starting loose head on off the bench, yeah, if I was Hartbury I'd be a bit worried. I'd be focusing on my set piece.
You mentioned there obviously Chris Taylor, he's one of the one of only two players outside of Bucks Super Rugby. The other one is Bailey Ransom of Newcastle. And then in terms of the teams in the in who are playing in Bucks Super Rugby, you've got Durham, the Durham lads, and Northumbria lads, and there's a couple of Newcastle Falcons boys in there. You know, James Elliott, I think, is in the squad, and you've got George Wakakoko, and from the Durham side of it, you've got Charlie Wilson. So that just again shows that really strong link with the Falcons, Durham and Northumbria, and Darren Fern, obviously head coach of Northumbria, is fully aware of that.
Yeah, no, it's just a natural, you know, obviously with Darren and his coaching up there, he's gonna know those players inside and out, and he'll want to have some familiar faces in there that he can call upon. And he's a great coach. He's shown that, you know, and he knows what he's going to do, and he knows the team he needs to pick to beat the French. You know, you need a strong set piece. You need physicality. You need some guys with a little bit of that cutting edge and a little bit of niggle and, you know, a few hard men in there. So, you know, I'm sure he's picked that team. You know, so like going back to like the fact that they bring Christine Taylor in, the hooker who's been playing National One, you know, bringing in someone who's got that, not sort of that universe, that National League experience in the front row is a massive thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So just again, those England students play next Friday against Chester. Against France at Chester's Hare Lane before going out to France next Sunday, I think, next midweek, the 19th of April. So we're looking forward to those, and hopefully the England boys can get some decent results. And just from the men's game to the women's game, obviously that final is first up at Twickenham next week, 12:30 kickoff, I believe it is. Durham University against the University of Exeter. Both sides won their domestic leads in the north and the south respectively. First off, Durham, they had a really, really strong win against last year's finalist Hartbury in the semi-finals, and they've got a really strong link with Darlington Modern Park. Obviously, they're in the Tyrrells 15s as well, Max. So they seem to be sort of a university which is progressing really well and sort of following this progression of, you know, making connection with a really strong professional club, but also developing their university programme.
Yeah, they're doing the right thing, aren't they? They're getting the combination right, and ultimately they've got to a final at Twickenham, so they're doing something right, and they're getting all the right links. They're not trying to jump the gun with it all, you know. They're steady away. They're not trying to do it all too quick, but you know, they're a team that you're probably going to see just progressing over the next 2-3 years. Just going to slowly start creeping up, getting a few titles under their belts, but it's great for the women's game. You know, we see everything that's going into women's football at the minute with all of the massive sponsorship that's going in. You know, we've seen the stuff with Tyrrells, with the women's premiership. So, you know, the funding's there for them. You know, so for these clubs, it's a really exciting time for women's rugby. And, you know, the teams like Durham, you've got to jump on the bandwagon and have got to start to keep developing like they are doing. But it's great to see them there.
Yeah, and with that, you know, you talk about the word developing a lot, Max, and next year's obviously the National League the Bucks have introduced for the women's game. That's only just going to increase this sort of participation for the sport, but more so the popularity of it.
Yeah, and from a commercial point of view as well, I talked about the Barclays deal with the women's football and Tyrrells. Having, from a commercial point of view, it's good to have an elite women's, you know, the Super League, whatever they're calling it. You know, and they'll get some good sponsors on board. They really will, you know. So it's exciting times for the women's game. It really is. There's a lot of opportunities out there and, you know, every credit.
And just on the flip side, from Durham to Exeter, and I think Exeter are one of the universities that seem to be leading the way in terms of their development programme. You know, first off, Joe Yapps, the head coach at the England under-20s as well, but they've got an array of Till Premiership 15s and England internationals and internationals across the board. So would it be fair to say, Max, that they're sort of spearheading the sort of rise of university rugby in the women's game at the moment?
Yeah.
And of course they won it last year.
Yeah, look, they're the champions last year. I think one of the things I've noticed at university level in women's rugby is one or two England women can make, they're just game changers. I think it was Cardiff Met potentially a couple of years ago, had a blonde-haired girl. I can't remember her name now, but she scored a load of tries. I think she was playing for England. Correct me if I'm wrong. I might be. But you have a few girls that have got that experience, you know, played at the high level. You're going to see it at the women's game, and that's what Exeter have got.
I think exactly, just to jump on your point there, Max, I think Cardiff Met played a couple of years ago, but the Edinburgh side of things as well. I think Rona Lloyd's currently out in Hong Kong playing for Scotland Sevens. So I think it's exactly your point there you're making, that these girls are not only getting a great education, they're showcasing the rugby skills, and they're allowed to do that on the international stage. And in the Exeter team, you've got Poppy Leach, who was playing in the England Six Nations squad, you know, last couple of months ago. So it's exactly what you say, Max. Just every single year, no matter who it is, there is someone who's going to stand out and be a star player for them.
Yeah, there will be. We'll be talking about someone on Wednesday that scored a hat trick, or a girl that's got some cutting edge pace, or some woman that's, you know, bringing some physicality to the game. So, and it really does stand out, and that's because, you know, there's a fairly big gap between the average university women's player and then the professional women's player, and that's the gap that we're trying to bridge, that they're trying to bridge currently, and it's going to get there, but there's still a bit of a gap there. So these professional women that play at the high stage, they're going to really showcase themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we'll ask you for a prediction after the podcast, but just a little stat so you can think about, Max. Exeter haven't lost in 24 games. Durham have won all 12 this season. So have a think about that. See who you're going to pick, because it's quite a tough one. So just on to this season of University Rugby, Max. You mentioned at the top of the pod that TRU does a lot of work with it. We're leading the way in terms of coverage across all platforms, across video, written content, social media. This year it's been really good. First and foremost, we've been able to get, you know, the likes of Seb Negri, who's done a bit of a column for us this season, and we've got a couple more lined up before the final. So just how important is it to keep raising the profile of University Rugby and the way we're doing it at the moment?
Yeah, so TRU was built, you know, the first sort of articles that we were doing was about University Rugby. We'd have been the pioneers of University Rugby in terms of the content that we're pushing. There's no publication out there at all that is anywhere near what we're doing. So it's just, we just want to showcase University Rugby and give these players a platform to showcase their abilities, and that's what TRU is doing. It's giving the clubs, the universities and the players a platform to showcase themselves. And I think it's only going to go from strength to strength to strength, because ultimately getting a degree and playing a high standard of rugby is so much more appealing. It's getting so much more appealing than being professional rugby players now. You know, because look, at university you're pretty much a professional rugby player. You're in the gym, you're physioing, you're doing hydro sessions, you're doing all sorts. It's 24/7. So I just think, you know, it's going to keep going from strength to strength. And, you know, we're massive fans of University Rugby at Talking Rugby Union. And I hope that showcases in the coverage that we've been doing for the last 6-7 years.
And one of those interviews we did last week was actually with University Bath head coach Lewis Messer. And he's actually working with Bath Rugby's academy. He's sort of like the pathway development officer, if you like, and he actually echoed your point, Max. He said you've got to be playing, you know, these people are going to university now to play rugby and then taking the route into the professional game that way, because some just, you know, sit there on the bench in an academy and don't really get that experience of playing university rugby. And I think you use sort of the analogy, like, there's no point if you just sitting on the bench, because you're never going to learn that way. It's like riding a bike, you know, if you don't learn to ride it, you're never going to be able to ride it. So it's massively important for these guys to be playing rugby at university, and it can lead to greater things as well.
Yeah, look, you know, there's some dark sides to it as well. You know, young professional players, they go from being 18 into a professional environment. They don't really play. You know, they might play a little bit, get knocked around in the championship. And, you know, but then you've got some of the showcase players go through academies, they'll play for England. But there's a lot of stories where people just don't make it, and then they're stuck and they don't know what they're doing. And those stories don't get told. Like, they get brushed under the carpet a lot of the times. Obviously, with mental health, you know, more things are coming to light. And I think it's just there's going to be more stories coming to light of people, you know, with mental health issues because of the professional game. And what university rugby allows people to do is get a university degree, looking jobs in the workplace, you know, develop their rugby skills, and then if they play well enough, then they'll get a professional contract. But so from a player development and from a personal development point of view, I think university is such a... it's such a strong avenue to go down. They can only harp on about it, keep going on about it, but I think it's just a great, it's a great thing to do for young players. So
absolutely, and you've seen over the last few years we can rattle off the usual names as long as we want, really. You know, your Alex Donbranch, your Sam Skinners, your Will Muirs, these lads have all gone through university pathway and are now playing at the top of the game. And it's not just Buck Super Rugby we focus on. I mean, those lads have come through Buck Super Rugby to get to where they are, but we're very focused on those leagues below because there's still a lot of talent in those leagues as well as the top league.
Yeah, so you've got the lower leagues that's full of talent that are playing in national leagues. They're playing in National 1, National 2 North, National 2 South, like National 3, like all the middle, like, yeah. You know, playing in loads of leagues. So it's not just about the professional, like, it's also about the semi-professional game, which is just as important as a professional game. You know, and there's player pathways everywhere for these lads, which I think doesn't get highlighted a lot of the time. So you've got lads in the Manchester Met, just because we're friends of the coach of Manchester Met, we'll use them as an example. A lot of lads, you know, in that team are going to be playing local teams around, so like Burnage, or, you know, going to be playing at Stockport, or going to be playing,
Manchester Rugby
Club, Glossop, you know, like just clubs around the Manchester area. And then you're going to be lads in the National League. So, you know, these leagues have got, you know, they've got a purpose for everybody, which is important. About even if it's just amateur casual rugby or social rugby or semi-pro rugby, they're all, you know, these universities have all got a part to play in it.
Yeah, and you know, you're looking at down the leagues just quickly, Max. You know, you've got the likes of St Mary's. A lot of those lads have been playing in National 1 this year with that sort of partnership they had with Old Althemians. And you quite rightly mentioned there with the MMU sort of thing that a lot of those boys are at Sale FC, Sedgley Park, Preston Grasshoppers. And it just shows throughout this tier. That's why it's important we highlight it, because it's very easy to go with Buck Super Rugby, look at all this talent, look at this amazing talent, but below it you've got some teams who are really producing some excellent players. And we've mentioned the women's game as well.
Yeah, look, a couple of leagues below the Super League are just, you know, the programs are just as good as the Super Rugby stuff, you know, and they don't get highlighted enough. And it's something that we'll be focusing on next year, trying to highlight those teams and universities a lot more. And I do hope that, you know, books do highlight, do showcase some of these universities that are pumping in a load of money trying to showcase their rugby development programs, and I think they deserve to get a lot more credit than they do.
Yeah, so, you know, we're looking at the Buck Super Rugby stuff, but there's these other sort of angle which we've been really keen to highlight, is the professional players. You know, these lads who are currently playing for the top Premiership clubs, you know, your likes of Simon Hammersley, Josh Beaumont, Tom Dunn, who we've done all interviews with over the last sort of year or so. They're still massively fans of university rugby. I think we did a column with Simon Hammersley a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I wouldn't be playing for Newcastle if it wasn't for university rugby. So it just shows how key university rugby is for these players who have probably all got over 100 appearances now for their Premiership clubs.
Yeah, and it's just going to keep growing, going from strength to strength, and you're going to see more and more people.
Yeah, exactly, mate. So let's go and talk about our plans for next week, because it's obviously the big one at Twickenham. We're obviously heading down next Wednesday morning, a bit of a trip from where we are. We're really looking forward to getting a lot of coverage when we are at England HQ. I mean, what we've got planned, Max, is a bit of social media, a bit of videos and sort of post-match reaction and pre-match reaction, really, just to get people who follow us on social media right into the sort of atmosphere of Twickenham.
Yeah, just show you the experiences we have at Twickenham, which is always a great day. So I do urge people to get down, get yourself there for a few beers on a Wednesday. It's a nice way to spend a Wednesday afternoon. You know, we're trying
Fiver as well.
Pardon?
Only a fiver to get
in. Yeah, only a fiver to get in. You know, it's a steal. Great atmosphere. Hopefully the weather holds up. But yeah, we're just going to, you know, we're trying to highlight the podcast, trying to highlight all the written content that we've been producing. You know, we're going to put all the social media stuff. So please do follow us over the next sort of couple of weeks. There's a lot of exciting things happening.
yeah, we've got a lot of key interviews with all the key players and sort of staff members, coaches, etc. Over the next, well, few days really, leading up to the final. We obviously have special columns as well with a couple of the captains that have been involved in recent finals. I think Alex Dombrandt and Seb Negri will be doing some stuff for us, so really excited about that. So on to the finals themselves, Max.
Yes.
Had time, a bit of time to think about it. Let's go with the women's final because that's first. Like I said, Exeter unbeaten in 24. I think it's a run which is pretty much over a year and a half now. And then Durham this year have won all 12 in the matches. So really tight one to call. Exeter, the current champions. I mean, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Exeter just for the experience that they've got. And I think, you know, every credit to Durham, beat 12 on the bounce. It's great, great performance. But I think they've not played Exeter. You know.
Well, the last team that beat Durham were Exeter in last year's quarterfinals, so there you go.
So, I just think Exeter are just going to be too strong for them. So,
the men's, the big one?
The big one, Leeds Beckett, for me. I think they're going to be too, Leeds Beckett are going to be too strong for them. I think Leeds Beckett just need to stick to what they're good at. And I don't think they'll have a problem. Hartley were good, don't get me wrong, but I just think Leeds Beckett, if they can get into sixth, seventh gear, they'll get the win.
So there we have it. Exeter to lift the women's title and Hartbury's reign to come to an end at Twickenham, according to Max Ashcroft, who never, ever, ever gets anything wrong and does not shut up about it. So, no, we're really looking forward to heading down to Twickenham. Joe Harvey, our usual host, will be with us as well. So make sure you stay across Talking Rugby Union on social media, Talk Rugby Union on Twitter. Make sure you check out our Facebook page, and we're on Instagram as well. So that's Talking Rugby Union on Instagram. Yeah, just keep up to date with it over the next 5 days because we're really excited about the content and the people we've spoken to. So many thanks to Max for joining us as always.
No, thank you, Chris. Much appreciated.
And we will be next time, hopefully, speaking to you live from outside Twickenham. So looking forward to it.
See you then.
See you then.